You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm. But even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $10,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click, click, boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, hit me on the radio. Click, click, boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're gonna let me have to throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Otherwise known as Chat Lives Matter Day here on KLRN Radio, and you are listening to the Robinson and Amish Show, or as I like to call it, the Robinson and Horty Show. But anyway, so we're live. It's an abbreviated schedule this evening because, yeah, I told everybody earlier today, in case you're just joining us, I had everything all discombobulated when I was trying to give the lineup during the morning show, because for some reason I was thinking this was Toxic Week, and that's actually next week. And because I somehow already thought it was next week, I also thought there was going to be a red wine tonight. So anyway, it's just, I did America Off the Rails early because G was closing on a refi for his house, so that we've already gotten that out of the way. Now I'm joined by someone you probably won't recognize anymore because he's no longer with us on Twitter. Pour one out for your homie, the Amish one. Good morning, sir. Good evening, sir. Wherever you are, how are
good
you?
Good evening.
I feel like our recovery.
When you did that, I was about to do the whole Art Bell thing. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may. Then I vapor locked, so none of it came out. I am well. So I've done my appeal. They say that I am in violation of targeted abuse, but isn't that like the very fucking definition of Twitter?
I thought so.
I mean, isn't that a feature? That's the point, right? Targeted abuse.
I'm
in violation of using Twitter correctly, apparently.
I filed
another appeal, but just in case on the backup, I ordered another burner phone. So I think my next account, I've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, I was thinking of Secret Amish Man. But then I kind of want to do a, nod to Repo Man, so do Amish Secreto.
Well, you know what this means. This means anytime you come on we can do this. You could have your own theme music from now on, sir.
Nice. Yes, tonight. Whatever I guess, anybody else show they'll have that as my intro. Al is totally down. I knew you'd dig it the most. I really did. So, I'm thinking Amish Secreto.
Oh,
and it kind of goes with the whole Californian Amish thing too, and being the secret Ordy man. So, you know, it's like an onion.
There's so many layers.
There's layers.
There's layers of innuendo. You just have to know where to look.
There's two sides, like a coin, like an onion.
Oh.
How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, actually. Well, I just got caught up on what's been going on with our buddy Ron in chat. I wondered where he'd been lately.
Yeah, I did too. I hadn't seen him all weekend. Usually, I start to worry if I don't see him past. If he doesn't show up for Cyber Chill, that's a little disconcerting in and of itself. Because I mean, Lou, who can blame him? And then two nights in a row missing that, and when she produces for Brad Nagy show. I just drew a blank on that one. But anyway.
But that's
when I start to show concern.
So yeah, I was actually I'm glad he showed up because if I hadn't seen him by then, I was going to text him and be like, "Hey, are you okay?" Anyway.
I'm falling to the low where I have to share memes on Discord.
I know.
But that's actually, Discord, it's basically a meme delivery system anyway. That was back during the Trump years. Discord was called a alt-right haven for meme distribution.
I don't know. All I know is I have to figure out a way to make Discord quiet on this machine now that it's installed. Because y'all were, like, dinging me to death when I was trying to do a show last night.
Okay, I'll tell you how to do a DN, do not disturb.
Motherfucker.
Yes, Discord is quite active, considering that's the only place you can find me right now. And on Minds, but I haven't used Minds as much this time yet.
Uh-oh. Ron's riffing on your new name already.
Yeah, a little secreto of a man, a moosh. Nice. Nice. Amish Rhapsody.
Oh.
Bohemian Ordinance.
Oh.
I was texting somebody the other day and I signed it Ordinance J-J-A-Y Packard. So what's the J stand for? Jordanance? Duh.
Oh, good Lord, you got me laughing so hard I just snorted on the air. Like, not once, but like three times.
Is that what that was? I thought you were just, like, sneezing.
No, that was me snorting.
Okay.
I don't laugh snort very often, so you got me good if that happens.
Nice.
My daughter's not so lucky. You get her laughing, and she just snorts over and over and over again. And then she gets embarrassed, and then she can't stop.
Yeah, no, actually, when I can get Lou or Sam to do it, I kind of wear that as a badge of honor. Because it's hard to get them to do it, but when they do, you did a good. So.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Sam, because I know you're not on Facebook, she posted something today about, sometimes cutting people out of your life is not necessarily a bad thing. It's good for your soul or something along those lines. And one of the first people to comment was her husband with one like a shocked face gift from a woman. And I'm like, uh-oh, Paul Janney looking around like, what the fuck have I done now? but anyway.
Yeah. Well, now what Twitter drama am I missing?
Oh, no, that was Facebook drama.
No.
Which is all Facebook's really good for is drama.
No, and that's true. That's why I quit it. It was just because it 24/7 drama llama, ding dong. So no, I just kind of
that's Kami Llama now. She's apparently been renamed the drama llama because apparently there's all kinds of dissension in the White House now.
Oh yeah, I not being on Twitter, I can only pick up on the peripheral stuff, and of course Twitchy. I'm seeing that she thought, I guess, her vice presidency was going to be different than everybody else's, and she was going to somehow be relevant, and not just like, the heartbeat away from presidency.
Yeah.
Stay in the Naval Observatory. and we'll call you when we need you, like every other vice president.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, did anybody, aside from like when he fucked up at spelling bees, did anybody even notice Dan Quayle?
I don't think so. I think his claim to fame was when they made fun of him on Murphy Brown for messing up at spelling bees.
Yeah, and even then he was technically right, but anyway. Well, actually, no, he's right in now, but not at the time, because language evolves. And like, I mean, if it wasn't for Dick Cheney running a war, I wouldn't have known that he was vice president.
I don't think anybody would have.
I think they just locked Biden in a closet for 8 years during Obama. Pence was, I mean, the only reason anybody knew about Pence is because he was Trump adjacent.
Well, that, and he looked an awful lot like Cotton from King of the Hill.
No, he looked an awful lot like Race Bannon from Johnny Quest.
I stand by my statement, sir.
I stand by my, but you know what, Cotton, he's too tall to be Cotton Hill. He didn't have his knees blown off in Iwo Jima.
How do we know those aren't fake legs, sir?
Okay. Am I sputtering to anybody else? Is it like my internet connection? I shut my mining down.
No, I mean, you sound good on my end.
Okay.
Nobody's complaining about background noise, but then again, I just lost the connection to the website, so it may be internet everywhere.
Okay. Oh my god, we're down!
We're back okay. Now.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I think I know what it is, and I'm... Okay, I'll move the... When I did a lean-in thing for the mic, I got a little too... I didn't back it off to where I normally put it. You know, now I'm in stereo. Anyway, so...
Ordy in stereo. Anyway.
So, yeah, I've seen that, and I'm already sick of the confirmation hearings.
I've barely paid attention to them, and I'm already sick of them.
God damn it.
It's not my fault, man. That one snuck up on me. Now he's muted because he's trying not to keep it going.
I'll tell you, the really bad thing is when you have two sympathetic yawners doing a podcast together in the evening. So, if you wonder why we're frequently muting, especially during Jux, because that show is late now.
Ord is like, do we really have to do that one that late? You don't have to work for a living now!
No, actually, I mean, because that's my weekend. I'm cool with it. Like, if I worked on Saturday, yeah, I'd be like, guy, can we, we pre-record or some shit?
We're gonna have to talk, bro. I'm gonna have to talk.
God damn, I thought I had a great topic, and it turned out to just be a clickbait video. And I still can't find anything on the secrets of Walmart. But I saw there was a video, it was the dark side of geocaching. And I can totally see that going, like, south. And I've seen a few stories and vids where, like, you know, it hasn't really ended well for people. Or, you know, they found, you know, oh, bit off a little more than you could chew on that cache, didn't you? And it was just clickbaity. I thought we really had some, like, dark side of it, you know, like the satanic cults were using it to message each other when really they could just use Twitter. Sometimes I go 80s brain, okay?
Oh, boy.
Amish secreto.
Oh.
Okay, so, okay, I get what Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham are trying to do with these confirmation things, but they're being so fucking cringe. But what they should have done, and this should have just been the question, and this would be over, and we wouldn't be talking about this confirmation anymore. They should have just said, so, how do you know you're a woman then?
Yeah, I actually was kind of...
If you're going to be the first black woman, how do you know you're a woman? How do you even know you're black? And then... Yeah, geocaching for skulls. Wasn't that a Brad and Aggie topic last night? Skulls in the box? Maybe they were going to a geocache with it. When I used to geocache, I'd put in like drink tokens for local bars.
Nice.
Yeah, because I'm cool like that.
But yeah, when I heard they asked her that question and she basically gave a non-answer, I was like, wait a minute. You are a woman. How the hell do you not know how to answer that question?
Well, and that's just it. And that's where, you know, the insane rhetoric of the left, how easy, I mean, Cruz did point out, it's like, you see how easy it is to back yourself into a corner with that logic. But then it should have said, so how do you know you're a woman? Get just pure, you know, take it to the, you know, make her cancel herself. Because any way you answer that is wrong. And offensive, and you're a fucking transphobic bigot. Oh, that's how I identify. Oh, okay. I identify as an Apache H-64 helicopter.
And my pronouns are...
Yeah. And fudded. Anyway, so that's... other gags?
What, actually, you know what? I didn't see this until just now. So you remember one of the dark spots of the Trump presidency, you know, the whole Stormy Daniels thing? So, apparently she's lost her appeals and has to pay him $300,000 in lawyer fees.
Another one that Avenanti fucked over, but good. Yeah, I was wondering why she was trending.
I was just thinking, you know, I mean, again, I don't know anything about the story, don't really give a shit, because it was all happening before he was president anyway, but from all the shit that we're now finding out about years later that he was actually right about, kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting story with everything else that's broke this week, because, you know, that paints this as maybe it wasn't necessarily as legitimate as everybody said, and now we found out the laptop was.
Right.
That laptop's some scary shit, bro. You should be glad you're suspended from Twitter.
They know. It's like when they put me in Twitmo, they know. And now everybody can act the fool.
Dude, like...
Wait, okay, so the weird thing was suspension. There's an account
that's posting all of these gross-ass pictures of Hunter Biden, though, and I just want to find them and nuke them. Just make it stop! And then Stacey had to share the pain this morning. I was like, I thought you liked me!
Yeah, stop it. Something that only somebody who is frequently suspended from Twitter would notice. They have actually changed what happens when you're suspended now, because it used to be when you were suspended, you could still see your notifications. You couldn't interact, you couldn't like or read, but, you know, you could kind of just see, you know, who was dancing on your grave or who was, you know, it priorying and shit like that. And now they cut that out immediately. That's how you know you're hard suspended, is your notifications are gone. Then after a couple days, your feed is gone too, but it keeps taunting you with, hey, welcome to Twitter. Why don't you try tweeting something? Then the moment you do, oh, sorry, your account's suspended. You can't do that.
there should be like a CGI thing of God, what was his name? Alex Trebek that comes up and says, ooh, sorry. I don't know. That's, you know, as much as that's, like, sick and twisted, I think that's why it made me laugh, because it's just, like, funny. It's like, oh, yeah, go ahead, try to tweet something, motherfucker. Go ahead, try. Oh, nope, sorry.
Oh, you must be new here. Go ahead and tweet something. Let's get this started. Tweet something. Fuckers. Psych. Yeah, Al, geocaching for skulls, you should do that. Like, do it if you're like a dark country band. Or, you know, outlaw country. Geocaching for skulls. He said that was going to be his next band name.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's new.
So, another little interesting... I don't know why all of a sudden all these stories that I would have talked about last hour are, like, popping up that I didn't see before. So, you know, this is just, yet again, more proof that the Biden agenda and administration is losing favor within the American system everywhere. Federal judge has currently upended Biden rules that hamstrung ICE agents and also led to historically low deportation numbers. Federal judge in Ohio has blocked deportation rule changes issued by the Biden administration last year that have severely hampered U.S. immigration authorities from removing illegal immigrants from the country. On Tuesday, U.S. District Court Judge Michael J. Newman issued a preliminary injunction reversing the deportation limits that...
Hello, Newman.
...that instructed... That was a Seinfeld reference, in case anybody missed. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE agents, to narrow their focus to only those migrants who pose public safety or national security threats or who illegally crossed the U.S.-Mexico border after November 2020. So, I don't know. I just thought, with all the things that are happening, it seems like everybody's kind of just slowly just piecemeal dismantling the Biden administration. I wonder if it's eventually just going to be wiped from the collective memory. This never happened. You know nothing.
Wait, we were all on vacation for 4 years. Nothing happened. No, speaking of, okay, this is what I love. This is like every March where the Lincoln Project has to disavow themselves of one of their founders.
Oh, God. What they do now.
So, They put out a tweet today saying, just so you know, Steve Schmidt hasn't been a member of the Lincoln Project since like November of last year. So everyone's like, okay, so what did he do? Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Turns out he's in the middle of a dick-waving match with Maggie Haberman from the New York Times.
Oh, nice.
And so that's just a, you know what? Just gonna let him go with it. Y'all deserve each other.
So, over under on about 10, 15 years from now, when kids are opening history books, when it mentions, you know, when they start talking about presidencies, when it gets to Biden's pages, it's going to be Leslie Nielsen holding up his hand saying nothing to see here for like 3 pages.
it's going to be a paragraph. Joseph Rubinesque Biden. Rubinesque, is that his? I don't know. Robespierre, something like that. Rasputin, I don't know. Anyway, was the 46th president of the United States. He nominated and had the first black, air quote, woman as vice president. The 47th president of the United States was... that's going to be the long and the short of it for President Silverberg.
Yeah, so his name in the history books, as far as I'm concerned from this point forward, Joseph Rubik's Cube Biden. Just saying.
There you go. Nice. I like that. I was in a Discord conversation when they said, yeah, you should run for president. And, you know, be like, I could just see you fighting with Xi Jinping. And I'm like, yeah, settle down. Simmer down, Mr. Pooh. I'm sorry I was doing Disney cosplay when I banged your mom behind the Circle K.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. That's cool.
This is why I can never be president.
I don't know if that might be the only reason I vote for you.
Oh, you think the mean tweets were bad, huh?
Wait till I say what I want to say out loud.
And, you know, it's like, was it with you I said it last week that Reagan was, I mean, I said it was one of the last things I got to say on Twitter. You know, especially the Lincoln Project and, you know, a lot of the true cons, they like to, you know, hold Reagan up on this pedestal. I'm like, the dude trolled like in real time. He didn't need Twitter. He had press conferences. Yeah, he wasn't like, you know, this model statesman. He was an actor that was a Democrat that became a Republican, much like Trump. But he didn't have social media. He, you know, just letting you all know, the bombing starts in 10 minutes. Yeah, he trolled in real time. So don't kind of like try to hold him up as a pedestal of, you know, oh, this is what the GOP should be. No, you're right, but yeah, not for the reasons you think.
Yeah, you're exactly right, but it's not for the reasons that you think. And that's honestly what, when I started really paying attention to what Trump was doing and how he was doing it, because I used to get offended when everybody started comparing him to Reagan, and then I started watching what he was doing, and I was like, holy crap, he really is basically the 21st century version of Reagan. He's using the tools at his disposal to do the same thing Reagan did at the time.
Well, I remember when I started to have, when I had my pivot point, I started coming around to Trump, you were still producing FUBAR. And I had made a comment of, he really is a proto-Reagan. And, you know, he's like an, where Reagan had time to get polished because he was an actor. He was, you know, governor of California. He was president of the SAG and so on and so forth. So he had enough politics leaning in that he wasn't just some up-jumped fucking slumlord who had a couple movie cameos and was really good at self-promotion, right? So it's when I realized, okay, so he's like a, you know, an unrefined, a proto Reagan. You kind of cringed at that at first. I remember you were just like, don't, please. But you came around to that too.
I did.
We all did. I mean, we were all diehard Never Trump until there was nothing we could do about it. So we might as well just, you know, live with it.
It became one of those things where I could continue to basically rail against the man, but at that point it was basically me cheering for the guy that was flying the plane to crash it, which is why I've really tried to do everything I can not to rail against Biden, but he's making it impossible!
You may not like it, but you have to accept it.
Yeah, I mean, I've accepted that he's president, because, you know, I have to, but I also have accepted the fact that he's not actually the one running the country either.
No, okay. Yeah, no, I meant, you know, when we all just kind of had to accept that Trump was president.
But yeah, I mean, now I'm finding myself in the reverse position because I'm really trying not to cheer for the guy that's flying the plane to crash it, but he keeps making it impossible for me to cheer for the guy that's flying the plane to crash it.
Well, it's easier once you embrace that we're in the second dumbest timeline. Then all of it is just like, you know what? Just embrace the chaos.
If this is the second dumbest timeline, I hope I never have to find out what the first one is.
The first one doesn't have Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
This is true.
So, you know, it's like, I mean, okay, so when I was went up to Carson City Reno this weekend, and I was listening to First Wave, and occasionally they play Depeche Mode, and sometimes I just can't turn it off fast enough. And, Enjoy the Silence came on, and that's when I kind of changed the lyrics because I just spaced out and left it on to Embrace the Chaos. So I was having fun with it, but I fucking loathe Depeche Mode.
You know, I think they only have
they're the only super 80s alternative band, like mega band, like The Cure and The Smiths and everything else, that I just cannot fucking stand.
Oh, wait, why would anybody want unfrosted strawberry Pop-Tarts? Ew. Anyway,
sorry. You know what? I've accidentally bought those, and they're not good. Fortunately, I had some leftover frosting from Toaster Strudels, which are fantastic, by the way. And don't ask me how I had leftover frosting, I just did. So I Reese's Peanut Butter Cupped them. I took two competing brands, took the best part of both of them, and it didn't suck.
This is true. Actually, I've actually been on a Toaster Strudel kick lately because for some reason I kind of forgot those existed. And then I was And then I was going through and I was like, oh, wait, those are like Pop-Tarts for adults. We're grabbing some of those.
Yeah, you know what? They don't come in the foil pack that you could just eat straight. You actually have to, you know, work at them a little bit. You have to microwave or toast them. You have to put the topping on it. And, yeah, you know, it's like breakfast Lunchable for...
I should have known that was a Terry thing, Al. I should have known. Strawberry Pop-Tarts were the only ones my wife liked to eat. My now ex-wife liked to eat, too. She used to get mad at me because I'd bring home the cinnamon or brown sugar. She's like, I don't like those. They're not for you.
Have you tried the churro ones?
Oh, yes, I have. Yes.
Those are fantastic. By the way, if you haven't found churro Oreos, knock yourself out on those, too. Those are fantastic.
What?
But, yeah, churro Pop-Tarts. Man. What, you haven't seen the churro Oreos?
No, everybody, now Ron's bringing up unfrosted brown sugar cinnamon. What?
Yeah, those aren't bad. Those are pretty good. The unfrosted, because it's got the brown sugar cinnamon.
Yeah,
so,
well, the thing about it is, when we were kids, all the Pop-Tarts were unfrosted. So when they started putting the frosting on them, I was like, okay, let's do this. Because they didn't, remember back in the day, they didn't even have frosting on them. But I used to make my own, especially with the cinnamon or the cinnamon brown sugar ones. I would melt butter over the top and sprinkle more cinnamon. Good stuff.
You know, a few people know this. You follow me for more cooking tips. If you do like a flour tortilla with butter and then do cinnamon and sugar in it too, it's like a lazy homemade churro, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's yummies. I do those all the time.
Yeah, no, GR, you're right. I actually had to order the churro Oreos from Amazon, and I haven't seen them on there for a while. And my store will occasionally get them. But it's like, I almost think I need to smuggle them in from Nevada. I think there might be some law in California that precludes us from having the tastiness that is Oreo churros.
It's kind of like, remember Smokey and the Bandit, the rules about, you know, you can't have this brand of beer past this river.
Yeah.
That's still going on with the Oreos, man.
Yeah, although, you couldn't get Coors east of the Mississippi.
Although you would think with the heavy Hispanic population in California, the churro Oreos would be allowed there.
I think it's actually, well, the Latinx call it cultural appropriation or some shit, and you know that, I don't know. But yes, you would think.
You would think.
Yeah, they cause cancer in California. Nowhere else, just in California. So you want to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more yummy food goodness, or what we're watching, or other things.
I don't know. I'm actually starting to get hungry because we keep talking about food, and I've already eaten, so that's bad. Anyway.
Oh, by the way, yeah, thanks for that one. But he just sent me an article on Jeff Bezos' ex-wife is giving $3.9 billion to political causes. I'll have to find out about that, too. Oh. You think that she had donated to GOP just out of spite?
You'd think. You're like, yeah, fuck you, buddy. Here, watch this. All right. Going to take a quick break. Got a bumper queued up. Just grabbed one. Wasn't even really paying attention. But anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To ash and dust, I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm. But even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. you'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
I hear that rooster's ugly crow, shouting, girl, get up and go. There's hawks to slop and seeds to sow. La, 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 la. Since the day that I was born, pulling weeds and shucking corn. Seems like there should be something more. La, 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 la. I'm gonna kill the rooster. I'm gonna kill.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Robinson and Horty Show, segment 2 coming at you live, just about done for the evening. We got about 15 minutes or so left. May go a little bit over, we normally do. But anyway, so there was I've already had a brain fart, but there was something you wanted to talk about when we came back, and I don't remember what it was. There was something.
I like juice. No.
I like juice.
No, okay, so
I like juice too.
I like
juice.
All right, so I'm at the point, and Babylon 5, where they had that one, you know, they're kind of doing the whole death of personality thing, where, you know, like, rather than giving you a death sentence, they wipe your memory, and then, you know, the dude became one of the new religious order that is on the station. So it occurred to me that, okay, the role of this character was played by Brad Dourif. If you're familiar with him, he played Peter the Mentat in Dune. He was in Voyager. He played kind of the same type of criminal murdering character. He played Grima Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings. What I just found out while looking him up is that he also plays Chucky. He was the actor who became Chucky, and he has been the voice of Chucky ever since. So, but I noticed that he always seems to play these same characters, and in that, while looking up, because I couldn't remember his name, while looking up his name, I discovered that they are remaking Reanimator. And he is the star of that. Which, if you didn't know, Reanimator is an H.P. Lovecraft story.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Lovecraft always freaked me out as a kid. But I liked his work. Anyway.
Dream of Wormtongue. Yeah, that sounds disgusting. Winter. Anyway. Would you like some warm tongue soup, honey? No, it's not that cold outside, but thank you, Mother.
I don't think it will ever be that cold outside, Mother. I don't think it will ever be that cold.
So the episode was passing through Gethsemane. I always have trouble with that. And so if you're wondering, what are you watching? I'm still watching Babylon 5 because, goddamn, I'm tired.
Antihistamine's kicking in, folks.
Yes, it was also Billy Babbitt and Cuckoo's Nest. You are correct, Ron. He has been around forever. His actual photo is like black and white from black and white TV show. It's not like, you know, he's doing the artsy thing on IMDb. That's actually... Anyway.
He's been around forever. But hell, William Shatner just turned like 91.
Right. But the thing is, he always plays the same type of character.
Yeah,
he's got that kind of like that creepy mass murderer, you know, but, you know, the quiet neighbor, never too busy to say hello kind of guy. Until he eats your spleen. And he'll still politely say hello while he is eating your spleen. So. So that is what I am watching.
Oh.
Also, watching... a little bit. I'm doing the creepy pasta thing, too.
Creepy pasta.
I love creepy pasta.
Oh, so apparently, you know, not to steer back to politics for a second, but this has to be mentioned, I think, because it just popped up in my feed. This actually started right as we went live. Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker have been asked to resign from the President's Fitness Council by President Biden, or he was going to fire them.
See, and that's just political fuckery. That really is. I mean, you know what he's going to do is he's going to put in some trans athletes.
Probably.
He's going to, you know, so. But, yeah, I mean, that's just, well, when you are so fucking wrapped up partisan like that, and we always know that, you know.
Well, I think there's more to
Joseph Runemucker, Biden.
Yeah, Herschel Walker and Dr. Oz are both running for office.
Yes, also true.
I think it probably has more to do with that. It's like, if you're going to run for the party that I don't like, you can get the hell out.
Anyway. But, I mean, okay, so that's always been, I mean, the President's Fitness Council has always kind of been not really partisan. I mean, it's been not so much apolitical. I mean, obviously everybody there has a political opinion, and Arnold was the head of it forever until he became the governator. But, yeah, I mean, that's just, that does not make Biden look good. It would have been better to have let them resign without saying, hey, quitter, I'm going to fire you.
Pretty much.
You know, you do that, you back channel that shit. You don't just fucking telegraph it. And you hope the people you're saying that to are actually like, yeah, you know what? That's cool because I'm not going to say anything about that, but I am going to campaign against you harder, even though they're not running direct. I mean, that gives them a, you know, I can be cool and not run against you. I can run against my opponent, but now you're going to make me run against you. And your opponent, and my opponent is going to get absolutely shellacked because nobody likes you, Silver Alert.
Oh, man.
Okay. We got to talk about Stacey Abrams on Trek.
But do we?
We really don't. I mean, no, we covered it on Monday. Have you covered it?
Not really, no, honestly. Yeah. It was one of those things, I kind of let it slide because I know a little bit about Abrams' backstory. She's like a huge Trekkie, so I'm pretty sure that's half why they did it. And it just because
is she? Because I thought she always struck me as the kind of person who wouldn't know anything about it.
I mean, well, according to what I've heard and read, she's apparently a huge Trekkie. But again, you know, not really surprised since most of the Discovery cast is, first of all, Canadian. Also, mostly either female or people of color or you know, people of same-sex orientation. So, doesn't really surprise me in the long run. But yeah, it was definitely kind of weird seeing the president of Earth and it was Stacey Abrams. I was like, oh, wow.
You know, we talked about that on Cyberchill on Monday. That whole scene, and it was posted on our Discord, that whole scene played better with the audio from Vader landing at Death Star 2. And the thing is that especially the way that they had the fleet arranged around that starbase, that was just, this is not fucking the Federation. Okay. Besides, has been pointed out, the Federation doesn't exist, the universe doesn't exist, because they went and contacted the aliens to come and smash the galaxy, and sending the code of, oh, never mind, we're good, that wouldn't have stopped them. So, you don't stop the dead man switch of having the robot aliens from another dimension come and wipe out your universe.
I mean, technically, they were from another dimension, though.
Right. Whatever. I haven't actually watched this show, Rick.
I know, which is why I'm trying to help you along.
But you know, I don't need to know the facts. It's all shite.
Actually, I was reading an article today, and I wasn't aware of this. You know, up until Discovery, pretty much every iteration of Trek has been shot on a Paramount soundstage. Discovery is actually filmed in Canada, so the guy that plays Wei Yun,
and it shows.
Yeah, well, the guy that plays Wei Yun has been asked over and over again if he's going to be part of new Trek, and he's like, really, I can't. He said, first of all, this Trek is completely different. He said, second of all, it's filmed in Canada, and Canada basically says, yes, we'll give you tax breaks and this, that, and the other, but we prefer that you hire Canadian actors and actresses. And they'll even give them rebates for hiring Canadian actors and actresses. But that's why most of the people that have been watching Discovery are like, why don't I recognize any of these people? Because they're all from Canada. That's why.
Well, okay. No, but that... Okay, that's why normies don't recognize any of those people. But those of us who are well familiar with Hallmark Channel and Sci-Fi Channel, the golden age of sci-fi, know the cross-pollination of Canadian actors and actresses between sci-fi and Hallmark channels movies, because they're the same. It's like, and we've talked about this in the past, when the hotties age out and they can't do action sci-fi anymore, they're the MILF or they're the, you know, widower in Hallmark movies.
They're the Stifler's mom of Hallmark movies.
Yes. Yes, exactly. They are Stacey's mom.
No, it's Stifler's mom now. Come on now.
Okay.
You got changed. It's not Stacey's mom anymore. It's Stifler's mom. Besides, I can't say Stacey's mom because then my co-host yells at me in the mornings.
Leslie and I, we were both in Twitmo at the same time, so we were kind of doing the you know, the hot bunk jokes.
Nice.
You know, it's like, because when you're in Twitmo, you can DM. You just can't tweet or GIF or, so, yeah.
Nice, but yeah, so, yeah. I mean, just, you know, Discovery, my hot take on the whole thing. First season, didn't really know what to think of it. I liked who wound up being the villain in the first season, because I've always liked that guy. For some reason, most of the things he's in don't last very long, but I've always liked him as an actor. Second season was probably the benchmark for Discovery, and it's led to another spinoff, which I'm kind of excited about. Third season, yeah, it was kind of like Voyager meets Doctor Who. It's kind of weird. This season, honestly, until Stacey Abrams showed up on the Starbase, I felt like this was probably the most Trekish that show's ever been. It was the closest to actual Trek that I've seen from them. And I know what you mean by the scene where they have all the fleet arranged around the Starbase and everything else, but actually in that scene, the reason everything, they tried to make it look as chaotic as possible is because they were in the middle of trying to evacuate the entire Sol system. So that's why it was...
Okay.
Yeah.
But it didn't look chaotic. It looked very, you know, like the Stormtrooper ranks on the Death Star as Vader got off the Lambda, or as the Emperor got off the Lambda shuttle. It looked very... Your military parade-ish from the screen grabs I saw. So I was like, ooh, cringe. Ooh, double cringe.
And but to me, it just looked chaotic because they seemed like they were kind of parked everywhere. But then again, I actually...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's kind of, you know, the comment that I, you know, made on Monday and was talking about on Discord too, is that, okay, you say that she claims to have been a huge Trek fan. I don't buy it, but okay. Like, that was a pure political move. And because they're all left, they're all Canadian leftist lesbians on the show. But except for Shaniqua Martin Green, I'm so mad she went to that show because she was like one of the great things of Walking Dead. Anyway, okay. So this is what I touched on. And yes, Ordy is about to make a SG-1 reference. When the chief of staff of the Air Force, and then they had another general of the Air Force on SG-1. First and foremost, SG-1 was a recruitment program for the Air Force. They even had a nod and a wink to their Air Force advisors on the show in the episode Wormhole Extreme, when O'Neill was the Air Force advisor for Wormhole Extreme. Okay, it was Air Force propaganda. It was a recruitment tool. One. Two, both of those generals admitted to, before going on the show, that they were fans of the show and wanted to be on the show, playing themselves, and they got to do that.
Hmm.
So, there you go.
Nice.
There's a couple other generals on the real life generals on the show too. But they weren't Air Force generals. They're, you know, and they're just kind of, again, military recruitment propaganda. But SG-1, they never hid that. I mean, it's whenever they would often break the fourth wall with it. So, love the Air Force. Our Air Force. Your Air Force. The Air Force.
The Air Force! I don't know. I have lots of family in the Air Force, so I've always been a fan.
Yeah. Nuremberg 32 mobile spaceships.
Yeah. If I hadn't gone the law enforcement route, I was actually this close to signing papers to joining the Air Force, and I didn't do it.
Well, you could have been law enforcement in the Air Force.
Yeah, I thought about that, but then again, there were so many different, you know, subsects to the law enforcement thing in the Air Force. I just didn't want to wind up being a gate guard, and I had a feeling that's where I was going to wind up.
What are you doing? I guard a gate in Minot, North Dakota. You did that for 8 years? Yeah. Sorry, man. War is hell.
But occasionally, I did see this ring that would light up in certain places when I would go, you know, into this basement, and it looked like a toilet flushing sideways, and people would walk in and out of it. Anyway.
We called it the old orifice.
Oh, man. So, yeah, honestly, I'm trying to think if I've been watching anything new lately. I haven't really been. I haven't really been watching much TV lately. I've been trying to get caught back up on the news again now that I'm doing so many hours a week of this. So honestly, most of the time, if I'm turning anything on, it's just kind of stuff to unplug. So it's usually things I've already watched that just kind of background noise to help me fall asleep. So I've been rewatching. Since I have Paramount Plus, I kind of have. I've discovered that if I just turn something on, like, well, normally what'll happen is I'll, like, on Friday nights I'll catch up on, well, what was Discovery and now, and then Picard, because I'd watch them back to back, and then it would just start randomly playing other different Star Trek episodes, and I'd just leave it running all night. It would, like, do this thing where it would play, like, an episode of Voyager, then it would play, just randomly go to the next one of the Next Generation, and then it would keep popping around, so I'd wake up and there'd be different Star Trek on. I was like, oh, I like this, and I just kind of, I don't know. So I have the time anymore.
Kind of like when you leave YouTube running.
Yeah. So Picard's been the one that I'm. So the first season, I didn't really know what to think about it. So far, second season, I just feel like they're trying to do too much all at the same time. John DeLancey's back, which I've always liked him playing the character of Q, but he's only really had a couple of the small parts so far. And it's just, I don't know. I'm really trying with this one because it's Picard, and I love Patrick Stewart, but I don't know. Like, so, and this is the other thing. They've missed an opportunity because Picard has now gone back to the same time frame that Avery Brooks did episodes in Deep Space Nine where he went back in time. So they really could have found a way to bring Avery Brooks back, and they chose not to. And I'm kind of upset about that.
Wait, so you're talking about in, like, the Trouble with Tribbles time, or in, okay.
No, when he did the episode where he became the historical figure by the end.
Oh, okay, all right.
I don't remember his first name, but his last name was
when they kind of quantum leaped him.
Yeah, when basically, yeah. When he became part of history, and, you know, the Section 52 guys were, like, looking at him afterwards, can you explain why this guy looks a lot like you? I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, so Picard's gone back to that time frame in the latest iteration of Star Trek, and they were talking about it, and there was talk of maybe bringing Brooks back, but they didn't do it. And I'm like, damn it, that would have been a perfect opportunity to bring that character back. Yep. But anyway.
Yeah. You know, talking about missed opportunities, I was thinking about that the other day, too, when you mentioned John DeLancey. They really missed an opportunity when they spaced him in SG-1. Because what they should have done was had him head up the trust for a while. Because if they really wanted to go with that trust whole thing, that would have been pretty cool for him to have done that. Instead, they spaced him.
Yeah, that was another missed opportunity. But the funny thing is you know, seeing John DeLancey from where he came from to where he ended up, that's a pretty amazing story. Because dude actually started as a bit part on a soap opera.
Right. Well, I mean, there's so much of that. I mean, you know, Harrison Ford was a carpenter, and, you know, and so.
Oh, I don't remember who it was, but I saw an article the other day, and I was going to make sure I brought it up for this. It was, like, back when Star Wars first came out, and it was a well-known singer. It was African-American, but I cannot think of her name right now. And she's sitting in the movie theater, and the first scene with Harrison Ford comes up, and she's sitting in the theater, and she yells, "Oh my God, that's my pot dealer!"
Probably Diana Ross.
I think it might have been.
Actually. That sounds like that sounds Diana Rossi.
It was either her. It was it was one of the really old school, like, you know, icons of music of that era, and it was just funny because she's like, "Yeah, I remember sitting in the movie theater screaming, 'That's my pot dealer.'" I was like,
Jeff said in chat that was, Jeff in chat said that was Mama Phillips, which also tracks.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought that was hilarious because, you know, it kind of, you know, seeing how he, you know, the character that he played at the time, and, you know, the disheveled look that he had going on, it just kind of fits. I don't know. I was like, yeah, it doesn't really surprise me.
Well, he was quite the rogue.
Apparently in real life, too.
But, I mean, she should have recognized that from American Graffiti. Was American Graffiti was first, right?
I think so. Star Wars was, what was it, May of 73, I think?
No, it was 77, because I saw it. I actually saw it in the theater, not as a toddler. So
yeah, it was like 76, 77. But yeah, hang on. I think
fire up the IMDb.
I'm working on it. I just can't seem to type tonight.
Holy shit, I can't spell. Yeah, American Graffiti was 73.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was doing, was flipping things around. I do that sometimes because my brain has the info, and sometimes it's like, yeah, it was 73, why did I'm thinking of the other show? But yeah. And of course, it was George Lucas, too. I wonder if he stole that story idea from somebody else, too.
Yes. that whole story was about the car he was driving when he killed the man. And that had the... So, they were drag racing down in Pomona.
Yeah, it was... Star Wars was 77. So, you were right.
Okay, so that happened.
That happened.
Yeah, no, that's okay, Mike. We're not formal like that. And yeah, usually we do start at 7 because it's been a whole thing today. First, there wasn't a G because of tax reasons, and then Rick did an AOTR, and then we did this because there wasn't a red wine tonight, but Rick thought there was a red wine because he smoked a lot of pot before the Daily Dose this morning, and
well,
anyway.
Mean, there's a reason they call it the Daily Dose, just nobody caught that. There's a reason it's called that, just nobody caught on. Anyway.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story a friend used to tell. His dad was a commercial airline pilot back in the 70s, and his dad was always like a practical joker and would walk from the back of the plane to the front, flipping a sugar cube, saying, "It's going to be a good flight."
Oh, he gets fired for shit like that today.
I know. But back then, those were the friendliest guys.
So, I know I'm asking the wrong person because you're currently suspended, but what the fuck is this new button on Twitter called Communities?
It's like, I don't know. I mean...
It's like Facebook pages. It's like Facebook groups.
I started to see downvotes popping up around right when I got suspended, so there's that now. Basically, Twitter is being Facebook. I mean, we already had DMs, and then, yeah. And that's funny when people were like, "What's this tip bullshit?" I showed the Brave icon where you could have tipped all along.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, on Brave, you can tip people for tweets. And BAT, which if you don't know what the basic attention token is, are you even listening to Cyber Chill on Mondays?
No.
Come on, even LL can make it and listen. Mike is in there. I mean, we're not just for super nerds. Super freaks, maybe, but not super nerds. As JC calls us, we are the Kim Commando for people who already know how to plug in their printer.
Oh, nice.
We're going to get letters.
Yeah. At least they'll be your letters, not mine.
Ha, they can't get me. I'm not on Twitter. What is this? Discover Communities. Fuck. See, they get away with this because I'm not on there. They know that I'll be mocking them relentlessly for this. Great, you just need groups.
Yeah, so basically...
In this case, they're actually stealing from MeWe. Because Facebook stole that from MeWe.
Yeah, well. Everything old is new again when it moves to Twitter. Right.
Yeah, that's just the pure millennial thing, though. It's like, oh, look, you've invented sailing ships. You've invented a bus. You've invented apartments. You invented marriage. So...
Who invented that, and why the fuck did they? Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, look, you just invented the restaurant. No. If you look at it, it's like, hey, here's an idea. Friends with benefits, and you cohabitate, but, you know... And you get to share all your stuff. Yeah, that's called marriage.
Oh.
See, Mike, he's learned a lot from CyberChill. Like, patch your shit.
It's better than pack your shit, which is... Never mind.
Links are spoofy. Anyway, where are you at this week?
Well, this week I'm pretty much done as far as evening shift stuff, but I got two more episodes of The Daily Dose. We got that tomorrow and then Friday, and then Probably going to try to kick off Book Report Monday again next Monday, and then the following Monday we'll have Gene Berardelli. He's written a book, and he's going to start his book tour with us the following Monday.
Gene wrote a book?
Yep.
He's still doing...
They've kind of revamped it. Now he's doing some sort of like live stream on Facebook that I haven't really been keeping up with because he hasn't been doing them for very long. Plus, he's been focusing more on the book that he just got published, which was kind of a riff on his original political buffoon idea. So I think that may be about to make a comeback. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, without buffoons of the week, I mean...
Yeah, you know... I mean, all he basically did was take douchebags of the week and clean it up.
Yeah, pretty much. And yes, I mean, he fell into the same trap, too. It's always the same buffoons.
Pretty much.
Always the same douchebags.
Yeah, but he had a rule that once they'd been nominated for 1 month, they couldn't show up again until the next one.
Well, yeah, but that's hard, too.
Yeah,
because usually when they're a flavor of the month, they, especially on political Twitter, they you know, so many flavors, and they choose salty, but it's all month long.
I mean, I don't necessarily mind salty, especially if it's salted caramel. Oh, sorry, my bad. Anyway, we should probably get out of here, because I know you got to go to work in the morning, and I can feel you fading from here, my friend.
Yeah. Boy, Gracie isn't happy.
That's not Gracie, that's Anna. Gracie's still gone. Oh. Gracie's hanging
Anna's
out.
Anna's not happy.
Gracie's hanging out with my oldest daughter. Her and Jess both have been over there, and they don't come back till Monday. But anyway, speaking of coming back till Monday, Ordy will be back with you Monday, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Actually, I'm with Brad tomorrow.
I forgot. It's culture shift week. Oh, my bad. Sorry. Didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead.
Vaya con huevos.
I forgot what day it was again. I apologize.